welcome to Matching Mom Jeans, where identical twins explore divergent paths of motherhood born from the same roots. Join us as we navigate this crazy world of parenting, proving that even with identical DNA, our journeys are still unique. Get ready for laughs, insight, and a double dose of maternal mayhem.
I like that. I really like it. I feel very
getting used to the introduction. I know.
It's something. I like it. Well, we have such an interesting conversation today because also, like, I just don't feel like doing anything today. And I think that's so funny to, like, overlap with the fact that this is one of my busiest work weeks because I have so many reports due. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about, like, being back to work and kind of where you and I are compared to this time last year where and I think you know this, but like I was literally like laying it out the other day. Last year, I started February 1st with the goal of doing 10 hours of work a week. I was going to build up my courses that I do for parents. I was going to build up my client list. And I had built in some time there for like marketing and like getting able to take insurance and things like that, like building a business. And 3 weeks in, I had a full scale, like sobbing in my husband's arms, emotional meltdown. And it was because,
as you do.
It was because I was never getting 10 hours done. There was never once last year that I made it 10 hours a week. And my husband said something that I will never forget, which is, but you're not working 10 hours a week. You're working 40 hours a week watching our child or children, depending on what day of the week it is. And then you're trying to carve out 10 hours that you don't even have to, quote unquote, work only right. 10 hours. Like, so you're being really hard on yourself for something that's not even what it is that you're trying to do. He's like, you're working 50 hours a week. And he's like, and I don't want you working 50 hours a week. And so we ended up dialing it back and making some different choices. And like through the course of the summer, then made decisions of like, how can we build up? And so like now a year later, I am working 10 to 12 hours a week. And it took us so long to get there.
But well, that's just kind of a picture of what it looks like. Like being a working mom, you have to be flexible. You have to like have a goal and it has to be like a vague, like you took your glasses off and you're looking in the distance kind of.
Exactly. Sorry,
that's not how everybody's glasses prescription works, but that's how my glasses prescription works. Like I'm it's whichever one of the sightedness. Well, yeah, we're twins.
Valid.
I'm whatever one of the sightedness is that I guess I'm nearsighted because I can't see far away. And so like, yeah. it's you take those glasses off and there's like some colored blobs in the far distance and you can sort of kind of figure some things out. That's how goals have to be when you're a working mom, I feel like.
That's because really valid. Like it's broad strokes. It's called like painting with a broad stroke. Like we're
broad strokes is a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like I've now like, and we can kind of dig into this because I really like what you've done because you're actually working outside of the home, which I feel like is so challenging. Like that is the hardest part for me because when I have to be in court, luckily I have those dates 3 months in advance. And even then, I still have childcare issues. Like we still have times where my husband is gone out of the state and I have a court date that we've known about for 3 months in advance and I have to find right. an alternative. And like, but you literally have to do that constantly. Like being, you are in an office now and we're not there. Like my family could
but
not
I don't have
facilitate
to,
that.
I don't have to do chaotic daycare. I don't have to do chaotic childcare because I do have a chaotic daycare. I'm not going to take the chaotic off of there because it's still chaotic. And it's only like, chaotic. I mean, now that we're a daycare family, we were a daycare family before I took time off. And then I spent 13 months home with her. And it was the best decision I've ever, ever, ever made. As somebody who, while I was pregnant, worked until I was 37 and a half weeks pregnant. And then the only reason I stopped working was because of Christmas.
You worked to the point in your pregnancy that I already had a baby. Because I already had my baby at 37 weeks. So you were more pregnant and going to work
and I just was
pregnant.
Well, yeah, that's the way it is for, I feel like, a lot of pregnancies. But for me, I just was never that person that wanted having a child to, the way I saw it was, there was really only one option. It was either things were going to continue the way they were, or they were going to be derailed by becoming a mother. And it was like this negative thing to me. And I never once saw it as an expansion of like my career or and a shift in my opportunities or a rebalancing of my perspectives or any of these other things that, you know, you see and you read about and that I have now lived. And I am so grateful for that opportunity, because now that I'm stepping back into my career in a very different way than I thought I would, because originally I was planning on going back to my job. Like I was originally going to take the time off. Basically the goal was get her older, get her in a place where her communication is better, help her work through some of the overwhelm that she was initially having, work through some of the sickness that socialization always brings, and get us like a healthy child who could thrive in a social setting, because she is a social girl in a lot of ways. However, she is she's a social child who takes a little bit to warm up. And so that can mean that by the time she wants to be in a situation, she's already been there for several hours. And if you're several hours into a day like that, you're exhausted. Like, and you're hungry because you couldn't eat the breakfast that you sat down to eat because you didn't adjust well enough to sit down and eat when they put the food in front of you. And now there is no food in front of you. And, you know, like, it's just, it's so hard when they're little. It's so, so, so hard because they can't communicate what they need. And so that was my goal with taking that time off, was I just kept saying, like, if I know that she can tell an adult that she needs a hug, or she can tell an adult that she's hungry, then I feel better about the situation. I feel like she's going to have better days. And she has. And she still has. It's so, so, so hard though, because my schedule is not flexible. I work the days that I work. I work the hours that I work. I have to be in the office. And because of that, there are days where the alarm goes off. And for my daughter, her green light goes on. We're a big green light. We're a big green light family. I will never not sing the praises of the green light, because
We have to look into how we're going to make that functional for our house, because I really think that my kids would latch on to a green light idea. Because we even had, like, with our oldest, we even had, like, Wi-Fi time where, like, their phone was attached to the Wi-Fi. And then, like, we could turn off the Wi-Fi, and, like, using a technology tool like that for parenting was really awesome, because, like, hey, it's 9:30, you can't sleep. You go to get on your phone because you're 16 years old and you have zero impulse control, and you realize, wait, none of my apps are working except for my alarm clock and my notes. And so I'm going to, like, text somebody for some sort of emotional support, or I'm going to write in my notes. And I can't get on and just mindlessly scroll because the Wi-Fi is turned off because it's bedtime. Oh, wait, it's bedtime. I should go to bed.
I started sleeping better. I started sleeping better when I started keeping the charger to my Kindle downstairs.
Oh, amen. Amen.
So my Kindle will die. My Kindle will just straight up die, and I can't read anymore. And so I can't read until 2 a.m. anymore because the Kindle will die.
Oh, yeah.
Now, well, if I am fully prepared to read through the night, I will charge it at like 8 p.m.
There you go. You plan ahead.
But I had to plan ahead for that. But I'm not just mindlessly doing it, you know? And so anyway, we're a huge green light family. But there are still days where the green light comes on and you go in there and you say, good morning, baby. How are you today, darling? Did you sleep well? And she looks at you and she goes, no school. And it's just like,
it's me at age 16.
Oh, man. And she's like,
oh, bless
no, her. I sleep. I sleep. And it's just like, oh, my gosh. You feel like a monster. Like, just call me Voldemort, okay? I am just killing everyone here, like, because I'm trying to get to the office on time. And then most of the time she gets up and she goes and she has a good day and she's forgotten about it in the car. But sometimes literally the whole time in the car, she'll be back there and she'll be fake snoring because she wanted to sleep more. And I'm just like, this is going to be really, really hard when you're like 15 and I can't throw you over my shoulder and put you in the car to get you to school on time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, a little bit of rigidity is nice.
It is. And I think it's also, it gives them the opportunity to grow. And that's been like a mantra in our house lately is like, I feel like I enjoy the idea of like being in charge of things. I enjoy captaining the ship. I enjoy knowing what we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, knowing what the day holds, all of those things. Oh, hello, tiny person who has now snuck into the recording. Hi.
Hi.
You found me. Can you go back to the... No, I can't go in the living room with you right now. Okay. Can you?
He's like, why is mommy in the closet?
I don't need to take my laptop into the living room right now. Okay.
Or you can take it on the table.
I can use it at the table. Well, thank you for that.
You could use it at the table, except for the acoustics in the closet are so much better.
He left. Let me close the door again. Thank you, babe.
Oh, man.
Daddy came and rescued him.
Oh, that was the best thing ever. I hope when you're editing this episode, you keep that in because that was the cutest thing I've ever heard.
I think I will. He found me. He's never found me before, man. When I was recording. Oh, I don't even remember what I was talking. Oh, so that's very similar. It's like, I can hear him right now. He's upset. And it's like, I could totally like, okay, we'll just stop recording for a little while and we'll come and we'll do this another time when it's better for him. But it's also like, it gives him an opportunity to grow. Like Saturday. Right. So like Thursday, I was supposed to do a home visit. And I ended up having to cancel the last minute because he was still sick. He still had a high fever. I did not want to go to this other house and expose this other family. But also, there was no reason for me to leave him. So I reached out to the family. Hey, can I reschedule? And they came back with, yeah, Saturday night. And I was like, oh, that's so exciting. How much fun. So like at the end of our Saturday at 5:30, my husband had, you know, his marching orders of like dinner and bath time. And he had two little boys who'd spent all day at the park and were covered in sand. You know, I left and I had this moment of like, I'm a horrible person. It's a Saturday night. I have two little boys who do not want to be left with their father. And, you know, they want to be, you know, they should have a home cooked meal. They shouldn't just be eating frozen pizza and mac and cheese, or they should, you know, like I had all of these like shoulds in my head. And when I came home, they had had a blast. They had such a fun evening. They had at the last minute decided that they were going to grill. So they were cooking outside. And I had a 6-year-old explaining to me how exciting it is to cook outside. And, you know, they were running around like crazy people. And also, like, did we get bath time done? No. Was it the end of the world? No. It was 100%.
Nobody's skin is falling off.
Like, they're fine. They didn't get any weird diseases from the park. I wiped everybody down with baby wipes. They washed their hands and their feet. Like, fine. We'll do a bath the next day. And it's like, I'm learning that, like, a little bit of that gives them the opportunity to grow, too. And, like, I grew. And the opportunity my husband grew, to like,
find their own version of happiness.
Yes, exactly. You know? Like,
that like also gives them the opportunity to carve out those memories.
Yeah, like eating macaroni and cheese on the back porch while daddy's grilling was fun and exciting and probably way more cool than playing with your toys in the living room while I cook dinner. Like, it's just and it was finally, you know, it was finally nice enough weather. Thank goodness for that, because that probably would have not been fun if it had been 6 inches of snow again. But, like, I love that. And I think that that's probably been one of my favorite things about the last really, like, 6 months. Because the last 6 months has been when I'm working more. Because I'm working outside of the home with the court system. And then I'm also doing kind of my own, like, telehealth stuff. And it's just been really crazy. It's been really fun to see how I'm a real person again, too.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was talking with a friend yesterday about, like, as mothers, the difference in your mental health when you talk to other adults. And, like, she has a 1 year, a new 1 year old. So his birthday's in December. And she made the choice, like, when the new year crossed, she was like, I'm going back to work. Even if it's only a couple hours a week, I'm going to work so that I can get a little paycheck stamp of approval of I did a task and someone rewarded me for it. And I was
some
like,
some gratification.
Exactly. And it's, she's like, it's not that I don't appreciate it, but like she's in a really particular situation where she has like her own children. She has stepchildren. And then she's also raising two of her siblings. And so she has a full house of children. And the endless grind, like the ability to clock in and clock out is what she needed. She needed the ability to go do a set task that someone else has designed for her and then come home, because the endless 24/7 of like somebody always needs something, there's always laundry to do, there's always something to be done, was just a vortex that was just sucking her in. And I super understand that, because I think that's a huge component of like getting out of the house as a mom and like getting other things, like just having that feedback from the world. Like, right. It's just, it's a big deal.
I don't know. Sometimes I think that like I wasn't quite ready to go back to work, because when I think about that and pertains to my, like, as it pertains to my job, I feel like some days I'm just sitting at my desk thinking about how I have to get through this day so that I can get back to the things that I need to do and want to do at home.
Like, see, and I do see that. I do see that side,
like,
of the coin.
It's a
too.
Barrier, right, to me getting my real stuff done.
Yeah. And I have a friend who I actually, like, just kind of thinking about this episode, asked her, you know, like, why do you work? You know, is it kind of an emotional fulfillment thing? Like, I would kind of categorize myself as that. Like, I want to be making a difference. I want to be doing something in the world. Or is it like I need to get out of the house thing, like this other person? Or is it? And she looked at me and she was like, we have to do it financially. And I was like, that's incredibly valid. And she was like, it breaks my heart. I don't want to do it. And the only time that I feel like it's worth it is when I buy groceries. And she's like, and I feel like, hey, done, check. I'm getting my kids their favorite food, which frustrates me because I know that someone else is going to have to cook it for their lunch because they're going to have to be somewhere else. But I'm doing this. This is the season we're in, and this is how I'm supporting my family. And I loved that answer. And I told her that. I said, you know, like, I understand that that's your reality and it's yucky because it's not what you want. But at the same time, like, you are also providing your kids with an incredible framework of like, sometimes we got to do what we got to do. And I can still show up for you in all the important ways while also having to do this, what we've got to do thing. And so, like,
ooh, absolutely.
I think it's such a huge, my son's obsessed with rainbows right now, but like that's kind of how I see it. It's all these different shades of options of like, it doesn't have to fit into the binary of like, are you back to work because you want to be? Or are you back to work because financially you have to be? It's really truly this spectrum of like where.
Well, and like, I'm back to work because my daughter needs to be in social situations learning because she was not at the place, especially not once we moved here to Germany, where she had the friends, she had the music class, she had the library story time. Like, we were so disconnected that putting her into a daycare situation, she only goes 3 days a week, but those 3 days a week are stability. It grew her safety net.
Yep.
Like, it grew her community.
You're in a completely different country. So, like, every person that you know couldn't get there in 20 minutes. But if you're not with your daughter and your husband's not with your daughter, then, like, you need a list of people who are safe people. And even if you have to go through the more structured, like, well, hey, you're a teacher at my child's school, so you're able to put a Band-Aid on my child's knee when I'm not there. Like, you have to grow that. And I think that's such an interesting perspective that we don't think about, is like when that village has to be a structured professional village, like a village that you kind of pay for. Like, you need it.
I mean, it is a village that you pay for, especially over here. And for us, it's like a means to an end, because we needed her to have like those safe, secure people in her life. We also needed her to build up the stamina, because here in just a few months, she will, her placement is going to open for her to start at the German school. Yeah, and
I think we mentioned that last episode.
We're so excited.
She's going to be just brain explosion.
Well, we've since toured the school and it's amazing and great. And I'm so happy for her. And it's the kind of opportunity that we were hoping for when we first decided to take this position over here. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like, you have to get used to going to school, is what we call it, in a place. We can't just drop her in. You can't drop me in anywhere. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of person, and I've always been that child too, where like you could pretty much just drop me in. I have literally been handed a microphone before. Well, I've literally been handed a microphone before and like a note card and like walked out in front of thousands of people to tell somebody that their car was double parked. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can do that. I can tell people where to move stuff around. I almost do better winging it than I do when I'm prepared. Well, you can tell that. Well, you can tell which podcast episodes that we had things we specifically needed to talk about and which things we just winged it. And I'm so much better at the ones we're winging it. But
that's true.
So much more
that is really
confident.
True.
But, you know, but that is not a trait she got from me. That's not.
Yeah.
She requires, and it's so great because I love, love, love our baby book, because our baby book asks the best questions. And it's called A Childhood History is what it's called. And it asks the best questions. And one of the questions it asked was, which traits is your toddler at their second birthday? Hers was just last month. Well, 2 months ago now that it's past December.
Now that it's February.
Right.
Which snuck up
almost
on me.
2 months ago.
I wasn't ready for February. That's a whole other discussion.
But, you know, it's like, what traits did your child get from you? What traits did your child get from your spouse? And I'm like, what an interesting question. And I'm like, I don't know. She likes to paint her fingernails. I guess she got that from me. She talks louder than the average people around her. She got that from me.
Like, I was about to say, you know, but it's you like, should make a list. You should make a list of everything she got from me, because unfortunately, there's a lot.
How many things did she get from you and Aunt Nicole? That's the real question. But, you know, so it's like
turning into a small version of me.
her ability to eat a peanut butter sandwich every single day for breakfast, she got from her father. I can't do that. Oh, yeah. I'd be bored to death. But, you know, one of the other things she got from him is that she handles situations so much better when she is prepared and knows what to expect. And I do feel like that's, like, maybe also, like, a learned response. Like, I don't know if as a child I just, like, learned how to do that. Or if that's something that's just inherently part of me. I don't know. But either way.
It's probably both. Like, I think just in general, like, working with humans as I do, like, you do see kind of both sides of the road on that. Of, like, oh, well, I can, you know, I can change on the fly. And other people who are, like, absolutely not. And, I mean, like, I'm 100% raising each of those types of children in my house. And it's, right? It's really. Like, it's. And you learn, like. You learn, like, it's easier to adapt kids. Like, we are actually forcing my, like, to that same vein of, like, your child does better knowing what to expect in school. Like, my child doesn't. Like, dragging him out of the house to do something that is scheduled is absolutely a nightmare because he has his own ideas for what he wants to do in the day. So we've actually went from, like, I think you are you the person who told me about this, or did I tell you about this, where it's like schedules, routines, and rhythms?
Have you? Yeah, I'm the rhythm person.
I'm a rhythm person too, but for the longest time I was trying to force our family into routines of, like, every day we do this, because my husband and my stepson both do really, really well on schedules. And so I was like, okay, we're going to meet in the middle. And we are trying to be a routine family. But what I'm learning is that my youngest is so, so totally a rhythm child. Like, if he knows, hey, about the same time every day, we're going to do this. So, like, we've gotten into a really nice rhythm. Like, my whole goal with 2024 was, like, on Mondays we do story time, and story time is at 11. On Tuesday between 10 and 12 you can pay a less fee to do toddler time at the local, like, indoor playground. And I was like, perfect, we'll do that at 11 as well. You know what, there was a gymnastics class that happens every Thursdays at 10:45. So, like, every day by basically 11
You're teaching my nephew how to be really good at brunch.
Yes. He's a brunch kid.
He's going to be a bruncher. Okay.
Exactly.
He likes a slow morning, but he's not going to wait till afternoon to do things. He's a brunch kid.
100%. We come back from said activity and we do lunch, and then there's a little bit more time. So he can, like, wake up around 8:30 and have this, like, kind of slower tempo to his morning, and then his day gets going. And, like, that was, and when you, it helps me, because now I know if I need to have a meeting with my clients, I need to be doing it before 10 or after 2. And that middle ground space is when my child needs me the most. And it's like, I think there's such important skills in that I never would have realized was necessary.
It's this empowering. Time last year.
Yeah. Well, and this time last year when I was trying to carve out these times to get work done, and oh, hey, and that is kind of the other thing about, like, running your own business is, like, your to-do list never stops. Like, you don't ever clock out unless you create that structure for yourself. And so I was falling into that trap as well, which there's so much literature about, of, like, you fall into the trap and you're always working, you're always on call, whatever. But it really helped me to learn, like, hey, from 10 to 2, almost every single day, my son is going to interrupt us. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So if I have a court date on a Thursday at 9 a.m. and it's going to run into that 10 a.m., I can also communicate with my co-parent and be like, hey, do you know how to do the middle of the day? Like, right. It's the more important
Let
part
me
of the
show
day.
You the snack drawer.
Exactly. Like, you're going to get a request for yogurt, peanut butter, and ketchup all at the same time, and you might as well do it because it's the middle of breakfast and lunch. Like, yeah, just strawberry had yogurt. To say
it, and now I have to tell the story about my sweet baby eating an entire banana today dipped in ketchup.
Oh, no, that's so yucky. At least my son just eats it with a spoon. Like, he just eats it like tomato soup. Dipping things that don't belong in ketchup is upsetting.
She very carefully peeled the banana and then dipped it in the ketchup. She had we had breakfast burritos for dinner tonight. So she had eggs and sausage and tater tots because those are hash browns, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's the world's easiest hash browns.
And then I put a banana on her plate because I wasn't really sure if she'd eat the sausage. And I was like, you know, a little bit more substantial something than just tater tots and dip. So immediately as soon as she sees the tater tots, she asks for the dip. Dip, Mama, please. And so we get some ketchup. Loves a dip. So we get some dip. And then she says, thank you, Mama. I'm like, perfect. And then she very carefully peels the banana, takes one bite of it, and then goes, and then takes the banana, dips it in the ketchup, and eats it. Gets this amazing look on her face, like she has just discovered the stars, and does it again. And then she asks for the other half of the banana, and she eats the entire thing dipped in ketchup. Horrible. I don't even eat bananas. I couldn't even do it. I don't even know why I'm telling you this story, because it's probably just grossing people out. But I mean, now it's forever immortalized. The ketchup banana.
It's technically a fruit dip. I mean, if we want to go there, it's technically a fruit
dip. Ew. It is not a bananas and fruit dip. Okay, that's horrible. That's so bad. Okay, so I did have a question for you. Let's stop. Let's stop talking about bananas and ketchup before people start gagging. Maybe they already are. I feel like this is one of those.
Did you see the picture, though, of the person who, because sometimes my Google sends me weird articles, and it's like this father who wants to send his child to jail. And it was a joke. It was satire. But a child who ate half a banana and they took.
Yes.
It was a fully peeled banana. But they took out long ways, like a rainbow or something. I saw that and I was like, I think I would call the police.
That's so funny.
So that honestly, the banana and ketchup goes perfectly with that joke. Those are my favorite things. What was the question you had?
My daughter likes lemon peel. She'll just straight up eat lemon peel. But it hasn't negatively affected her digestive system, so it's fine.
I mean, I feel like there's a
she'll just eat a lemon like an apple. It's like
Oh, did I tell you? I don't know that I've told you.
I have a question for you. Get back on track. Stop.
Okay.
I have a question for you.
Center yourself.
Well, and I don't know if we can even answer this question, but we're talking about getting him back into the rhythm of going to work. We're talking about how it's benefiting us, it's benefiting our children. Do you think that it's just the age that our children are? Is that part of toddlers peeling themselves off of being part of you? And their independence just feeds into your independence? Or is it part of the postpartum brain thing where 2 years after you give birth, thereabout, your brain starts to function again and you start to want other things again? Or is this seemingly happening for us? I mean, do we blame it on the pandemic? Are we far enough out away from the pandemic now that moms are going back to work? Because I feel like I know of one of my close friends who was also a stay-at-home mom at the same time I was, and she started back to work 2 weeks after me.
Yeah, and I think the answer is yes to all of it. So we know from a child development perspective, until 18 months old, which is when separation anxiety peaks, we know that it peaks at 18 months old because prior to that, your child views typically the mother, but it's the primary caregiver. It's the person who smells the most like them, as not to get weird about your brain, but like the person who smells the most like them, who they associate as safety, that person is an extension of their body. Like in their brain, their sense of self is not a separate person. That is part of them. You are a set. You belong together. Salt and pepper, ketchup and mustard forever kind of thing. So at 18 months, they start to flip that switch. And by the time their second birthday rolls around, they do start to have this like, oh, okay. So my parent exists when I'm not in the same room as them. And when I leave and come back, they are still here. And they start to build what we call a secure base, which is a concept around attachment. And they start to understand like, okay, today I went into the next room. And when I came back, mom was still there. Okay, tomorrow when I go two rooms away, then when I come back, she's still there. And it's this building of like a sense of self and independence. And what we know from a parenting perspective is that as a parent, you suddenly have free time, not in abundance. Like you're not just like all of a sudden, you know, unemployed. Like you still have all these thoughts of like, is my child safe? You're still supervising them, those things. But you do suddenly start to get some of this CPU back. I mean, some of these moments of CPU. Like, hey, yeah. And it's like my child, you know, I don't have to monitor him constantly for hydration because I gave him a water bottle. He can go over here and he can get his own water bottle. You know, my child can go to the bathroom semi-regularly on their own or communicate to me that they have had an accident or they have gone in their diaper. So I'm not constantly smell checking my child every 10 minutes. So that part of my brain's back, you know, so it is this like, yes, but then we also know that the pandemic fundamentally changed parenting. It fundamentally changed the roles of parents, specifically in America. There's not a lot of data on international changes right now, but like we do know that. We know that so many people lost employment because of childcare issues. So much childcare. I mean, I think the official statistic that I read a couple months ago was a third of all childcare is gone in America. Like they closed.
And oh, it like never came back?
Yeah, it never came back. So like since 2019, like we're just operating at a two-thirds thing. And I think that's the correct statistic. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes. But regardless, it is this.
I mean, I was mostly being ironic about blaming the pandemic, but that's wild.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, the answer is like, yes and yes. Like we're getting our brains back at this age. So like you and I are experiencing it in a kind of simultaneous situation. But at the same time, like other parents of older children are also experiencing this because their children aren't doing school at home anymore. They're you know, we're back to like football and soccer and after school clubs and things that lingered and didn't come back until really last year or so. We're also back to trusting a little bit more, you know, like we're trusting the people that we have around. We're doing play dates. We're reconnecting with friends, you know, because there's an entire generation of parents who had pandemic babies because they're like they didn't have children. And then, okay, well, now I'm unemployed. This is the best time to start our family because I'm not going to have to take time off work kind of situation. And so there is like an actual population of parents who have started parenting since the pandemic and didn't even know what they were missing. And so like parent groups or mommy and me classes or kinder music or toddler tumbling.
It just wasn't like, even a thing.
It just was not a thing. I mean, even for myself, because my stepson was three, you know, like there are things that we are doing with my almost three-year-old that I'm like, wow, we never even thought to do this with you because you were 2.5 when the entire world shut down. So like starting a Tumblr, right. Starting a three-year-old tumbling class, because most tumbling classes don't start until they're three. Like it just wasn't on the table for him. Like it's just not a thing. And so, you know, we did Zoom story times and YouTube classes and stuff. And so Like, it is really interesting. And I think anecdotally, like, I'm having the same thing where, like, all of my mom friends are suddenly back. And all of my friends who were working from home or doing telehealth or things like that or building their own practices are getting more clients, are getting on their feet. You know, like, we are finally, right, as a society, getting our feet underneath us. And it's
really all thanks to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift saved the economy.
Didn't she save the economy?
she saved the economy. She brought football back. She got us those Hot Brothers, and we call it good. Like, she rescued everyone.
The Hot Brothers.
depression is cured. Anxiety is gone. The next thing she's working on is cancer research. Like, that's what I heard recently. You know, she's releasing a new album and it's going to be about cancer research.
Is that what, right? It is?
That's how it works, correct?
Well, don't say too many claims. We don't want to get shut down by legal.
That's true. I met a 9-year-old the other day who goes, "Can you believe my sister knows so much about Taylor Swift? She knows her birthday and her parents' names and her grandmother's name." And I was like, "I know all of that information.
Please have known all that information for a very long time. Like, if you knew the name of Taylor Swift's grandma before she wrote a song about her, that's on the true Swiftie test.
Right.
But, you know, in all fairness, I asked that question because it does make sense to me, especially over here in Europe. You hear a lot more about parental leave and about, yeah, how common it is for when a woman decides to have a baby, there's just kind of this understanding that it's going to be a couple years before she comes back to her career.
Which is crazy because in America, people are shocked by that information. They're like, "What? We'll see you in 6 weeks, man."
It's a big culture shock that it's not as, and what's funny is it's like, it's assumed that you'll come back. Like, of course it's assumed that you'll come, of course you'll come back to work. Why would you not?
Yeah.
But it's not going to be until 18 months, 20 months, 24 months. And now I'm like sitting here thinking with a 25-month-old child, oh my gosh, that's so much easier. That makes sense. Like, it makes so much more sense because my brain works better and my child is more adjusted and things, you know, like, oh my gosh, it's so much easier. And I was very blessed with the opportunity. Like, I had 12 weeks of maternity leave. So I was home for 3 months, and I thought that had set me up for success in so many ways. And then, you know, 6 months later, here we were making a very difficult decision for me to stay home. Mentally, I was suffering. Physically, she was suffering. It was not a good situation for everyone. Physically, I was also still suffering because, you know.
Because you weren't sleeping ever.
I wasn't sleeping, and my C-section scar had healed funny, and I had a thing with my back. It was a whole thing. Anyway, but, you know, so it's
that reminds me. I have a friend who wants to connect with you about C-section scars. Just as like a small
send
little
pictures asterisk. Of each other's C-section yes. scars?
Yeah, she wants to know if this weird. She wants to know if this little bubble thing is normal. And she asked me, and I was like, "Bro, I am the wrong person to ask about this, but I will connect you with the appropriate resources."
I will send her a picture of my scar. I have no shame in my C-section scar game. Like, my pelvic floor physical therapist, Haley, shout out.
shout out to Haley.
Should get like some sort of humanitarian award for how seriously she takes C-section scars, because
fair.
I was terrified and uncomfortable and all these horrible things, and I literally forget it's there. Like, I forget Ooh, it's there.
Love that.
I can't see it anymore, like, unless I look for it. Like, it's a whole thing. And so I am C-section scar, and I got kicked out of a C-section recovery group for like, because I, you know how you join those Facebook groups and you're like, of course,
I
agree.
I know.
and then you forget because you've been in the group for a year and you're like, what was the rule of this group again? I don't know. Apparently the rule was you can't mention scars.
Oh no. You ruined everyone's mental health at once. Hi, look at how happy my scar is. Goodbye.
I didn't even post a note in my phone about
the weird rules because I'm like, I'm going to get kicked out of the chicken group if I talk about how annoying my rooster is. Like, turns out you're in trouble if you complain about roosters.
Oh, no, not the roosters and the C-section scars. It's a weird, weird place. But it is a weird, weird anyway, place. Like, so, you know, it's just been kind of on my mind because job that I'm working now is a different situation. And I do feel like, you know, going back to work when I did informed what I needed. Like, I don't know that you could have talked to the pregnant version of myself and convinced me that part-time would have been a good idea or fully in the office would have been better than trying to be at
home.
As
someone who spoke like,
you know,
to you.
I don't think you could have had these conversations.
As a pregnant person? Yeah, no, like pregnant you was really steeped in... Like, as all first-time moms, you were really
determination.
Like,
okay, we're
going
to go with determination.
Well, yeah, you were like, I'm going to be able to do this because that's how you control anxiety. And, like, that was the other thing I was going to say is I actually spoke to my OBGYN. Is that what they're called? Gynecologist, whatever they are. Anyways, are they still an OBGYN if you're not pregnant? Anyways.
I have no idea.
The lady who was in charge of my uterus. The one who's in charge. And I spoke to her about my postpartum anxiety now that I am almost 3 years out. And I was like, I do feel like I'm doing better. I do feel like there's a part that I'm still managing. And I think that that's because of a bunch of other things going on in my life. And I think that that's like turning into just normal, like family related anxiety. I was like, but I feel like, yes, I'm doing okay. And I asked her, I was like, why did you ask me that question? And she goes, because you're past 2 years. And at 2 years, separation anxiety peaks for the moms. And I was like, wait, why do we only ever talk about separation anxiety for kids? And she was like, yeah, I don't know why we only ever talk about kids experiencing separation anxiety, because like as a mom, you feel separation anxiety. And that's what a lot of postpartum anxiety is like, if I leave this small defenseless creature with anyone other than myself, someone's going to sit on it and it's going to die. So I need to keep it with me. And so as your human becomes more human and can walk around and feed themselves, even if it's just dirt and rocks, like you become less responsible for stressing out about keeping them alive. And so like your brain can do other things, like, I don't know, care about employment.
Right.
And it's just a fascinating thing that I think we don't talk about, because I think if we did talk about it as a society, we would then have to talk about parental leave. We would then have to value the work that is raising children to this age. Like, it is a really different game raising a toddler from an infant and a preschooler, because that's what, you know, the age that my son is going to be in May is 3, and that's called a preschooler. And it's a completely different game. Suddenly people are talking about, like, what are you doing